Listening to David Cameron at Prime Minister's Question Time this week, he said at one point, "For heaven's sake, just go." And I thought, that's quite a good summary for my sermon this Sunday. Jesus said, go, and for his sake, let's just do it. Today, we start on a new series of themes. We spent the first part of this year concentrating on looking upwards to God, and then we moved on to looking inwards to ourselves as a church family, part of Christ's body on earth. And now we've come to the third point of the triangle, looking outwards. In September, we're going to begin looking at the subjects covered through the Alpha course. But before that, we need to get ready. So we're looking at preparing for mission. An evening worship in a couple of weeks' time will begin a six-week summer school of mission. Perhaps you find the whole prospect of mission a scary prospect. But the purpose of these next 2 months is to find out that mission need not be scary at all. It can be something quite natural. We want to understand what Jesus says about it, and to see how we can be a missionary church. The themes for these summer Sundays have all been picked from the beginning of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out 72 people with quite clear instructions. He told them to go. Today, we're not looking at the instructions. We're simply focusing on the fact that Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples. Jesus knew that he was soon to return to his Father in heaven. He wanted his disciples to realize that this wasn't the end, this was a new beginning, and they were part of that new beginning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record this in slightly different forms. Today we're going to hear Matthew's version, which is often called the Great Commission, and then Luke's version from the beginning of the book of Acts. So the first reading is from Matthew, and that can be found on page 1001 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 28, reading the last verses from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. And the second reading can be found on page 1092 in the Bibles, and that's the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, which is the second book that Luke wrote. So when he's talking about his former book, he means his gospel. So Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Amen. Thanks be to God for his word to us. May God reveal himself to us through our meditation and thoughts on his word. Amen. Matthew wrote his gospel mainly for Jewish Christians, and it's peppered with quotes from their scriptures, our Old Testament. Jesus' commission to his disciples would remind the Jewish Christians who heard it about the commissioning of many people in their scriptures, people like Abraham and Moses and Joshua, all sorts of people. They all had an experience of meeting with God. God spoke to them and gave them a job to do. And they were assured of God's presence with them. And it's the same with Jesus. The disciples meet with their risen Lord. He states his total authority. And then they're told to go and given the job of making more disciples. Jesus assures them that he will always be with them. And if you look at our second reading from Acts, the same elements are there. Jesus has established his authority by rising from the dead. He rebukes the disciples for thinking that they can possibly know God's mind. He tells them that they will be his witnesses. Witnesses are people who know what happened. They know the truth. They can testify to it. His disciples are to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And he promises the power they need in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Following this commission, Jesus returned to his Father in heaven. 10 days later, the disciples received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And these things are recorded at the beginning of the book of Acts. And then the rest of the book is the story of how those disciples followed Jesus' command and made more disciples. How the church took off, growing and spreading throughout the world, as people took their turns to go and make new disciples. And we're the modern day equivalent of those first century Christians. What are we to do about Jesus' command to go? This is the exciting part of being a Christian. Jesus is a living Savior. We are called to have a living faith. There's nothing static about being a Christian. We are called to enable others to have the joy of knowing Jesus. And we're given that responsibility by Jesus himself. Of course, we can dream up all sorts of excuses. And we're not the first to do so. Do you remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? As he approached the bush to see what was happening, God spoke to him and said, "Don't come any nearer. This is holy ground." Moses was in awe. And God spoke to him and told him to go. Go to Pharaoh and release the Israelites from Egypt. And what did Moses do? He came up with all sorts of excuses. Takes up more than a whole chapter in Exodus. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? What am I to say when they ask me who sent me? What if they don't believe me? I'm a hopeless speaker. None of these excuses did Moses any good at all. God had answers to every one of them. He would give him signs. He would be with him. He would give him the words to say. And Moses went to Pharaoh. And despite all these apparent deficiencies, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt with God's help. Jesus calls us to go and make disciples, to go and be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. What will our excuses be? I can suggest a few, and you can probably think of others. Excuse number one, who am I to go and witness to Jesus? You are a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free, living in the light of the resurrection, with a future to look forward to. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit with you, in you, forever. That's who you are. And you're being sent out with the authority of Jesus himself. When Jesus gave this command, he'd been raised from the dead. We're told by Luke, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. The resurrection is for real. And it's unique. Other religions don't have a savior who comes back to life and lives now in this world. It's unique. Evil and death have been defeated. We can be forgiven. We are loved. This is good news. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who spoke at our General Assembly in May, said in Life and Work that one of his hopes was for a renewal of confidence that we are the carriers of the best news for every human being that there could be, the news of Jesus Christ. So that's who you are, a carrier of the best news ever. Excuse number two. It's just not on. I'm far too busy at work or at school or whatever. Do you not speak to people while you're at work all day? Do you perhaps even socialize with them? Are they aware that you're a Christian? They notice what sort of a person you are. What about the people that you meet on the bus and you chat to or at the bus stop? Another version of excuse number two is It's not on because I'm hardly ever out of the house. And yet, for us, the ends of the earth are really accessible. You just press a few buttons and you can be speaking to family and friends in New Zealand or wherever. Have you ever told them how much your faith means to you? And what about the carers, the cleaners, the joiners, the plumbers who come into your home? People come to you even if you don't go out to them. They notice what sort of a person you are. The way we live our lives when we go out of this place is part of our going in response to Jesus' commission. We don't need to go on a missionary expedition to the far corners of the earth. We just do mission wherever we are by our behavior, by what stand we take on issues, by being open to opportunities which can happen at any time and in any place. Excuse number three. I'm no good at that sort of thing. I couldn't talk to people about my faith. So many people feel incompetent when mission is mentioned. All we're called to do is to witness to Jesus, to testify to what he means to us. Perhaps to say what a difference knowing Jesus makes to our lives. To say that being loved by God is special. To say that forgiveness is wonderful. To say that having the burden of guilt taken away is amazing. To say that knowing that there is a life after death to look forward to is just great. Just to be sure of the bones of our faith. What really matters to you? And say it from the heart. Yes, there are people who are far more skilled at speaking, and particularly at evangelism. But just know who to point people to if somebody wants to know more. Not long ago, we celebrated Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was quite noisy at the beginning of the 11 o'clock service because we had bubbles floating around, and that created a bit of excitement. But this was to remind us that the coming of the Holy Spirit was exciting. It was special. Because that Spirit brings to each and every one of us the gifts and the courage we need to do whatever God asks us to do. So, do we get excited about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and then forget about it for the rest of the year? That Holy Spirit brought the apostles the ability to speak to everybody around them in their own languages. God said to Moses that he would tell him what words he had to say. How can we read about these things and decide that we are different? These things are there to tell us that these gifts are available for us too. Where's our faith? Every time we read the creed at the communion service, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So let's believe. Excuse number four. I don't like change. And this sounds like trying out new things. Well, yes, it does. And the church is always changing. This church has changed enormously since I first came here. One thing about being alive is that you change all the time. You just look at that picture of John 20 years ago on Chris's program, and John has changed a little over these 20 years. People and things that are alive change all the time. You take risks, and sometimes you get it wrong. But the real question is, do you want the church to die? Or do you want it to be alive? Last of my excuses. I wonder if any of these excuses have sort of just rung bells. This is the last of mine. Excuse number five. I don't come to church to be sent out to do things. I come to get closer to God, to be part of the church family. And yes, it's good to worship God together here on Sundays, to feel the power of prayer as we pray together. It's good to be uplifted for the week ahead, to sing together, to hear God's word. And it's good to meet with our friends here and to feel the love which surrounds us, to enjoy the company, to get up to date with what's going on. These are all the things we've been looking at so far this year, looking upwards to God, looking inwards to ourselves. But part of looking upwards to God is listening to what he says to us. And we are being told to go. To go out of these doors with a mission hat on and witness to Jesus at every opportunity. This is the third point of the triangle. And without it, we're not three-dimensional Christians. We're incomplete. Our upwards part enables us to give God the glory, to be nourished by him. Our inwards part enables us to care for each other, to be supported. But our outwards part opens us up to God's world, the world where he wants his kingdom to spread. Over the next couple of months, we'll be looking at how Jesus told us to go, delving into some of the stories in Acts about how the early church was so successful at mission and making new disciples. Today, we're just thinking about a mindset that looks outwards. The God we worship is a living God. We too as a church must be alive, living and moving and changing in this world of ours. We need to ask ourselves in everything we do, are we witnessing to Jesus, our Savior? This was Jesus' last command on earth. He knew that the future of the Christian faith and the foundation of the Christian church depended on people following this command. It was that important. And it is that important right now. The future of the church today depends on it. And it's our responsibility. We are commissioned by Jesus. He said in John's Gospel, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So as we go out of the church doors today, let's go to witness to the Saviour who gave his life for us. Let's remember that we're carriers of the best news for every human being around us. Let's go in the power of the Spirit. Let's go. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so hard to move from our comfort zone. Forgive us when we make excuses. Forgive us when we think we have nothing to say. Fire us with the spark of your Spirit. Open our minds and hearts to see the opportunities we have each and every day to be your witnesses in the world. Be with us, Lord, as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.